plans for the future, but no future for the plans. And it's not the first time I have preached the gospel in an audience, and it was the very last time the people ever heard the gospel. And I could tell you of not a few cases, if we had time to do it, right in Waterloo, Iowa. A young, middle-aged couple who had heard the gospel for 30 years had never been saved. And the last night of the meetings, God saved that man and woman. In 10 days, they were ushered into eternity in a car. I preached in Midland, Ontario, at the conference there one night. And after the meeting, the folks got into the car, and in 15 minutes, some of them were ushered into eternity on the highway. My friend, don't bank on a deathbed. You may never have one. Are you ready for instant death? Are you prepared for instantaneous death? That's why it's such a solemn thing to preach the gospel, because I will never again preach to this company as it is tonight, and you will never again be gathered as you are now, and one of us will be the next. If it was you, and you go to bed tonight for the last time, to say farewell to your loved ones and sleep your way into eternity, are you ready to meet God? That's why God presses upon men and women the urgency of settling this matter of your soul's salvation now. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Notice that word. Not what ye will serve. Because it is a striking principle of Scripture that every human being is a servant of someone. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. You're a servant of someone. Of whom? All of us who have taken the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior are servants of the living God in some fashion or another. But if you are not saved, will I shock you if I tell you that you are being manipulated by your worst enemy? We read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 of a people who walked in disobedience. They were called the children of disobedience, and who served the purposes of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see what that verse is telling you? If you are not a Christian, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, you are a puppet of the devil. You say, hold it, mister. That's pretty strong language. Let me say, it is not my language. That is the language of the Scriptures. You are a servant of the prince of the power of the air. Oh, says someone, I don't worship Satan. I would deny Satan. My friend, whether you would deny him or worship him, it doesn't change the fact that you are being manipulated by your worst enemy, for you are either serving Satan or Christ. Now, you may be a good living person. You may be a fine neighbor. You may be a righteous living person in the eyes of the community, paying your 100 cents to the dollar, if it's still worth 100 cents, and keeping the laws of the land. But friend, if you are not born again, you are in the grip of your worst enemy, and you're being deceived, and you will lose your soul, and those are the hard facts of life. Who should you choose? Who should you choose? Should you choose Satan? Or should you choose Christ? Let me ask you, why would you choose to side with Satan? What has he ever done for you? Let me tell you what he's done for you. Every tear you've ever wept, every fear that has filled your mind, every grief and every groan and every grave into which you have wept, you owe to Him. Every sorrow, every sigh, every sickness, every suffering, you owe to Him. Why should you serve Him? Is He paying you wages? The wages of sin is death. Why should you serve Christ? What has He ever done for you? What has He not done for you? Let me tell you, He has given you the life that is pulsing in your body right now. That breath that you have just taken into your lungs, He gave it to you. The God in whose hand thy breath is. The heartbeat right now you feel within your breast, He hands them to you one at a time. One at a time. You feel it? One at a time. It's the Lord that's giving them to you one at a time. And you live by His gracious permission. And all He has to do is close His hand upon that little heart, choke off that last breath, and there's not an expert team of medical men in the city of Chicago will keep you from meeting God. You will move out to meet the God you will not bow to in life. In Edinburgh there used to be an old man, an elderly man. He was a professor of Hebrew in the Edinburgh University. They called him Rabbi Duncan. He did some visiting among the widows and the ailing. And among the homes that he visited was an old widow who had a son who was born paralyzed, or was paralyzed at birth. She was now an old lady, and the son had lived on all those years, and he was in his 50s, and he had never moved. He was conscious, but he was just paralyzed. And Mr. Duncan used to visit this old lady, and he did this day. She opened the door and she broke down in tears. "Oh, Mr. Duncan," she said, "I can't go on anymore." He stepped in and put his arms round the frail shoulders of the old lady. "What's wrong, mother?" "Oh," she says, "I can't go on any longer." She says, "Look at him." And they turned to look at the boy or the man now as he was, lying still upon the bed. She says, "I gave him life. I've nursed him, I have bathed him, I have sought to discern his every need, and ministered to him with all that I have, and now I am old and soon to die, and I can't go on any longer." The old man said, "Mother, you've gone on all these years, just a little while longer." She says, "I can't. Why not?" She says, "I'm looking for one thing only from that boy. Just one thing, if he'll give it to me, I'll die happy." "What is it?" "Just one look of love. But he never gives it to me, and I can't go on." My friend, the Lord Jesus gave you life. He has sustained you in life. The capacity to think intelligently, to make intelligent choice, the abilities and faculties that you have, the very food you have eaten, and the paycheck that you pick up at the end of the week, you owe to Him. For the Bible says, He giveth power to get wealth. And all He has to do is put His finger on a nerve in your brain or on your spine, and you're out of business, and you'll never earn another paycheck. Everything you have and everything you enjoy, loved ones, home, friends, you owe to Him. And you've never given Him one response of love. And I say what my brother said, you should be ashamed of yourself. Why should you serve Him? Oh, for a moment, let me turn you away to Calvary. For all these gifts that He has given you in this life are as nothing compared to the great gift He gave at Calvary when He gave Himself. There upon that middle cross, our Savior died. from Salem's gates, the poet said, advancing slow. What object meets mine eyes? What means this majesty of woe? What mean these mingled cries? Is this the man? Can this be he? The prophets have foretold, who with transgressors numbered thee, and for my crimes is sold. O heavenly sight, O lovely form for sinful man to see, I creep beside him as a worm, and see him die for me. My friend, the Son of God has loved you every day that you've ever lived. Every night when you've put your rebellious head upon your pillow, he has looked down in tender love and compassion upon you, and he loves you tonight more than I could ever describe. He loves you. He cares about your heartaches. He cares about your problems. He cares about the sins that are taking you to hell. And he cares about your soul. And he longs and yearns to throw his loving arms around you and save you from those sins. Why don't you let him love you? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Would you like a little advice? In the multitude of counselors there is wisdom, says the Bible. If I was to call upon the Christians in this audience who have known the Lord Jesus, our two elder brethren who have served the Lord longer than some of us have even lived, if I was to ask them, should these our friends serve the Lord? What should they do, Brother Bramhall? What would you say? Serve the Lord. And here's our brother has spent most of his life, all of his serving life, in the heart of Africa, in a foreign climate, in a strange culture, serving the Lord in foreign shores. If I was to ask him, what should we tell these people, brother?
Serve Christ.
Amen. If I was to call all the missionaries in from the ends of the earth, from all their uncomfortable missionary stations, I'm sure with one voice they would say tonight, dear man, whatever you do, don't leave the building without bowing the knee to Christ and serving him for the rest of your life. If I could call the angels in heaven who have served him for untold millenniums, I know with the voice of many waters, they would sing from heaven, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. If I could call forth those loved ones in heaven who behold the face of the Lord in his glory and majesty, who have tasted the joys of heaven and know what it's like to be free of this old life, who have reached home, if we ask them, what should they do? With one voice it would resound from glory. Serve the Lord, whatever you do, serve the Lord. My friend, if I could open the trap door of hell tonight and peer through the acrid smoke that comes from that place of the damned, if I could ask them what you should do, what do you think they would say? I know what they would say. Oh, serve the Lord and come not to this place of torment. And if I could call Satan to witness, yes, if I could call Satan to witness, what do you think he would say? I know what he would say. He would say, by all means, serve the Lord, but not tonight. Not tonight. My friend, there are more souls in hell who never meant to be there. They planned on being saved tomorrow, and they were cut off. Having been often reproved and hardening their neck, they were suddenly destroyed. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And I will say on behalf of the Christians in this company, and for myself, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You choose, and we'll pray for you that you won't make the wrong choice. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank Thee for the record of salvation. What a wonderful thing to be saved and to know it. To know that we have been saved. And always thank Thee that daily we are saved. What a wonderful thing it is. And oh, the conscious joy, the absolute certainty that the Lord Jesus will finish the work He began. We shall be saved, body, soul, and spirit, to spend a glad eternity in His presence. But Father, we are deeply concerned for some friends who are in this company tonight. And they're in the valley of decision, and they've been there far too long already. And we hear Thy Spirit calling them tonight to make that decision. For it seems as though the urgency of the day is upon us, and this may be their last opportunity to hear the gospel and make intelligent choice. Father, we pray for that dear man, for that dear teenager, that woman. Thou knowest, Lord, where they are. O God, our Father, do for these what we cannot do. Speak into their heart. Bring them to the place of conviction and repentance. And we pray that tonight the Lord Jesus will be glorified in the salvation of some precious souls that will serve Him and worship Him for all eternity. We ask it, Father, because He is worthy. And we ask it in His precious name. Amen. Shall we conclude our meeting by singing together?